more toward that. Beautiful. Thank you, Paul. If you have your cell phones, thank you, gentlemen, would you please put them on vibrate or mute or whatever you need to do? And the rest of you can open up your books to Jeremiah as our children are dismissing to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. I am 54 years old. Thank you. I lost 20 pounds this year. And for those of you that are interested in my proprietary diet plan, I have it for sale in the back by the book office. No, just kidding. No, I want to make sure. It's been a couple of months and I've kept the weight off. If it stays off, I will. They say 92%, 98% of all diets, you gain the weight back. And so I just want to make sure this thing will stick. If it does, I got a real good idea how, you know, I know there's a lot of people in Louisiana who say, man, we need to tame the beast. And it's really not anything that I've had to really endure, like going without. Vicky's been real good about keeping the sweets out of the house. We just kind of cut down on sweets and started eating 5 meals a day. Amen. You know, a lot of the weightlifters, this is how they live. You know, they'll get up and they make sure they get that breakfast in the morning right when you get up. Balance your meals, keep out low glycemic carbs, get some good snacks during the day. Don't eat after 9 kind of thing, and it's good. It just drops. I mean, it's not something where you have to kill yourself or get off anything. Just make it a lifestyle. But anyway, I don't want to talk too much about that until I'm going to let another 6 months go, and if I'm still doing good and going down, then we'll make some stuff available. We won't do it here. I'll make it simple. I'm reading a book by Dr. Don Colbert. He's on Christian radio. Really good stuff. We were supposed to pray for your situation. I remember now. Well, you're not supposed to, but Vicky catches.
You're supposed to eat after 5 p.m.
Well, not on this diet. And Vicky catches me in the refrigerator every night at 11. You know what she says? She says, Sonny, I can always tell, you know, when you're snacking at night, you hum. She said. So I've tried to eat without humming, you know. Okay. But you know, being 54 years old, there's some things. There are some things that I have seen in my life. You know, I'm old enough now. Past 50, they say you get wisdom. That's what Brother Rod Aguilar says. He says, until you're 50, you don't have wisdom. And I believe that because I look at things a lot different. And the longer I go on, the more I see things clearly. And I really believe for you younger guys that, you know, that are in your 20s and 30s, you know, there's some real wisdom in this church. We've got a lot of guys that are in their 40s and 50s that have just really got this thing right. And I just want to encourage you, don't look to your own youthfulness as sort of the answer to everything. Because there's wisdom can help you make a lot of mistakes or help you keep from making a lot of mistakes. And, you know, a lot of people, when you make some big mistakes, and then you goof up 20, 30 years of your life, and you wait till you're 50, and you go like, oh, now I have wisdom. You can get wisdom when you're 20 and 30, but you need to hang around people with wisdom. And, of course, the ultimate wisdom comes from Jesus. Amen. But we love you guys, and I want to break into a word. God's been putting this thing on my heart. You know, that there was a church, and I want to qualify where I'm going with this. There was a church out in California that had a very godly idea called the purpose-driven life. And a lot of people ran away from that because it was more philosophy than it was scripture. And so a lot of people were real cautious about that. And a lot of churches sprang off of that became more user-friendly churches, which really weren't preaching the gospel, but really just trying to get a better quality of life. But what we usually do as Christians is we usually throw out the baby with the bathwater. Because even though the water is a little bit dirty and all that, there is a principle there that God wants for His church. And that's that every one of you do have a purpose. And I want to talk a little bit about vision and purpose this morning, because a lot of us go through our lives and we're frustrated and we really just hit and miss a lot because we don't really understand who we are and why we were created. I'd like to start in Jeremiah chapter 1. And verse 1, it says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in the Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon." This is very explicit timing here when Jeremiah was born and came into his prophetic calling. "King of Judah in the 13th year of his reign," verse 3, "it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month." All this is just saying that Jeremiah was born in the time, or rather came into his prophetic calling in the time when Israel went into captivity of Babylon. And the first point I want to make here, I better read verse 4 before I make that point. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah," or to me, "saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." I want to make a point here, brothers and sisters. So many of us have excuses of why we're not doing or why we're not seeking God for what we should do. And Jeremiah had one of the greatest excuses. His entire nation was defeated and deported into a foreign land called Babylon, where they would spend the next decades in captivity. I mean, think about you right now. If all of a sudden you say, "I think God wants me to do something," all of a sudden America goes captive under some nation and you're deported out of your home and put in some kind of a compound. This is kind of how Jeremiah, his time frame. My point is that when God gives you something to do, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, He will fulfill it. And you know, when you don't have a purpose, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The same word of God says that without a vision, the what people perish. That word actually means they scatter. They scatter. Now, I want you to go out, and you know, we've had a great and a glorious summer, and I'm glad to see so many of you here this morning. But if you know somebody that's a Praise Church family and they're out wandering, you need to bring them on back into the house of God. Amen. I'm just telling you. You know, we run a real relaxed church here. We don't get real structured about anything, but I'm telling you one thing. If you stay out of church for a long time, the devil's going to eat your lunch because you can't make it by yourself. You remember what happened to Israel when they went up on the mountain, when Moses went up on the mountaintop? How many remember that story? Went up for 40 days, 40 nights. What was he doing? He was going up there seeking God for the Ten Commandments, actually, for God's purpose for the nation of Israel. And God was busy giving Moses the purpose for Israel, which was to live under the moral law until the coming of Jesus, and that they would be the chosen nation to keep themselves separate from other nations. That was their purpose of why they were drawn out. How many of you know that God drew you out of the world because He has a purpose for you? He just didn't get you saved so you didn't have to go to hell. He got you saved because there's a purpose and there's a reason for your life. Now, you young people, listen to me too. There's a purpose for your life. A lot of times people, young people just think my only purpose is just, you know, if I get on that, man, if I can just get another couple hours of this game in, leave me alone. But let me tell you what, there's more to life than video games. There's more to life than Apple iPhone 4 that's come out. I mean, everything is good, but if you just focus on its on that itself, it's wrong. You know, there's a law they call the law of diminishing returns. We learned about that at J.H. Ranch. That means once you do something, it's really, really fun. But each time you do that thing, it gets less each time you do it. It's the same. That's why they have to keep upping these video games. The kids play it. It's awesome the first time. Then they play it again, and it's not as fun. They have to keep going up on levels. And then they create new, and they just create endless strings of software to keep these kids pulled into this thing because it's money. It's lucrative. But it's the same way with us. You know, once you get that new car, oh, it's real nice, but you keep driving, it gets old. You got to get the new car that comes out. The same thing with everything. It doesn't matter, no matter what you do in life, the law of diminishing returns. Because you were not created, help me somebody, you were not created just to live this life so that you could have all of your desires. Amen. See, your desire is only complete in the Lord. And everything else is sort of a depreciation of what you're involved in. And so God called Israel out of Egypt so that they could be separate unto Him. God gets us saved, and that's our purpose, that we would come out of the world and be His own special people. Would you nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, you belong to Jesus. See, and if you can get just that straight this morning, then you've gone a long way with God today. And we have to keep reminding ourselves because the world is constantly fighting for your affections. And Jesus is a jealous God. He loves you and He wants you. Well, you know, some of you are going through so much stuff. You're going, my God. Yeah, that's because the devil doesn't want you serving God. He wants to scramble your eggs and get you all shook up and disoriented where you run back into the world instead of running to God. He is the deceiver of the brethren. But the Bible says that they overcame Him by what? The blood of the Lamb. What that means is you don't sit and hold the blood of Jesus up and the devil runs. It means that every time he accuses you because you mess up, how many of you ever mess up? That means you just get back under the blood and that's how you defeat him. Because you defeat him because he can't have you and his destiny is hell. You don't defeat the devil, Jesus defeats the devil. You just overcome him by not letting him overcome you. By getting under the blood of Jesus and you give your testimony. Every one of us here today need to go tell our testimony to somebody. Your testimony is so powerful, and that's why the devil wants it. Because if he can get you to sin and get you to go back into the world, you've ruined your testimony. Amen? So Jeremiah, he says, before Jeremiah, before you even born, he says, I formed you. I had the idea of what I'm going to do with you. And folks, God has a purpose for you. And I'm telling you again, if you get outside of this thing and you just get sucked back into the world, that's what happened with Israel. Moses up on the mountaintop, what happened to Israel? All of a sudden, Israel's down there and they start saying, you know what? I don't know about all this. They got real impatient. We don't know about this Moses. We don't know about this meeting and worshiping thing. You know, we don't even know who God is anymore. You know, if you stay out of church long enough, you won't even remember what God did for you. Devil gets you so turned around. We find Israel sitting there throwing all their jewelry in. And even Aaron, one of the chief priests, took the jewelry and actually made a golden calf for them to bow down and worship. Can you imagine? You know, I don't want to stay there too long. I just want to explain to you, brothers and sisters, if you do not maintenance your walk with God, you're going to have trouble. And how does that tie in with purpose? Because when you get scrambled, you don't even know what your purpose is. You know, I was weed eating. My weed eater broke the other day, and so I didn't get to weed eat for a few weeks. How many of you ever tried weeding your yard when it had been weed eating in a couple of weeks? Man, it is a mess. You know, when I went over the parts that I'd gone the week before, zoom, I got this big echo, man, it'll cut your foot off if it gets you. And it just knocked those weeds right down. I got to the place I hadn't done in a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden there was nice big straw-looking weeds coming out of it and the vines and everything. And man, took me about two or three passes to go through that. And then I got to the place where the lumber and the junk in the yard's at. And they had little trees growing out of that. And they had all kind of thick, thick brush. And I mean, Louisiana is just a terrible place. And I'm sitting there, man, I'm roaring, man, and it would grab my weed eater and pull it in. I'm just, oh, you know. This is kind of what it looks like in our lives when we don't maintenance our walk with Jesus. All of a sudden, weeds come up. You know, if you go to church every week, if you're praying, if you're reading your word, man, you get things come up, and you just go, zoom, you knock it right out. But man, if you're not in church, if you're not in fellowship, all of a sudden you're yanking on them weeds. And then, man, you just kind of get out of church altogether, and all of a sudden them weeds start sucking you in. You got to get the chainsaws out, and you got to get shovels out, and you got to pull them things up by the roots, because they done taken root, and they're out, they forced in your life out. I want to give you this picture because it's not a lot different than our walk with the Lord. And a lot of times we said, oh man, Christianity don't work. I tried there for a while. No, you let the weed just grow up and tangle and strangle you. Yeah. Yeah. Roundup. I like that. Get some Roundup on them weeds, man. The purposes of God in your life. Do you know, brothers and sisters, there are three, and this place that Vicki and I went over in California, they did a study, and they said the three greatest fears of teenagers today is, number one, that they would never find their purpose in life. The second fear was that their mom and dad would either, one would either die or they would divorce. That's their second fear. Their third fear was that, what was it, Vicki? Okay, well, I can't remember it. I'm going to look in the book because I know y'all want to know it. Of course. They would never find someone to love or to be loved by. And that explains why so many teenagers get in the wrong relationships. And I don't think it's just teenagers. I think this is just us too. I think, yeah, everybody falls into this category. And then they did another study, and they said adults over 65 were asked the question, if you had to live life over again, would you do it differently? Or what would you differently? They said, number one, they'd be more reflective. Number two, they'd be more courageous. And number three, they'd be more clear about their purpose earlier in their life. And in verse 5, going back to Jeremiah, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you or set you apart and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. You were set apart and then you were appointed. Then said I, Lord, behold, I cannot speak for I'm a youth. What's getting in your way today that keeps you from doing what God wants you to do? You know, some of you would just say, I'm too young. That's what Jeremiah said. He says, I'm but a youth. But you know, God says, don't say that you're a youth. Look at verse 8. He says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you, deliver them, says the Lord. Now, it's not about how old you are or how young you are. Some of you can say, I'm a woman, I can't. Yes, God can use women. Amen. Amen. Some would say, I'm too old to be used. Well, look at Daniel. He was 70 years old when God really kicked him in the gear. It doesn't matter about your age. It doesn't matter about your gender. It doesn't matter about your intelligence. Moses said, Lord, I stutter. And God was arguing with Moses for a while, and he was going to use God even with his stutter. You ever seen somebody that stutters? I have personally seen ministers that stutter when you talk to them. And they talk and they start preaching, and the stuttering goes away instantly. We saw somebody a while back. It's a beautiful kid with a beautiful voice. He stuttered, and he couldn't even talk straight. And he would start rapping and singing and just not miss a lick. When the anointing of God comes on you to do what you're supposed to do, it's not about your limitation. It's about your reliance on Him, to submit to Him, and He will use you to do what He wants you to do. He says, "Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak for I'm a youth." But He said to me, "Do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go into all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am to deliver you, says the Lord." You know, guys, I'm telling you, there's something about depending upon God. God has given each one of us a function. In Judges chapter 13, Manoah's wife, her purpose was to conceive Samson. Everyone has a purpose in life. But you know, with a purpose comes instruction from the Lord. What was her instructions? It was to be no wine, no alcohol, no forbidden foods, that when you become pregnant with this Samson that would be a judge, says he will rescue all of Israel from the Philistines. So that is her purpose, was to birth the judge that would deliver Israel from the persecutors. 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel, the prophet of God, was to become judge and prophet. His purpose was to anoint David as king for deliverance of Israel. Luke chapter 1, verse 13, Zechariah, you remember Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, what was his purpose? His purpose was to give John his name, John. And his purpose also was to train John up in the ways. He was also to raise him in the same way John the Baptist, or rather Elijah, was raised up, and even Samson, that they were to have no alcohol, they were to have no forbidden foods, and he was to raise him in the way of the Essenes and the Nazarenes. Now, if you look over in Galatians chapter 1, I want to show you the Apostle Paul had the same call on his life. Galatians chapter 1. Y'all remember the thing of how to find Galatians? Giants eat peas. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So you just find one of those three books, and it's in the GEP. Okay. Just want to help some of you guys. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at Paul. He says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace." Even the Apostle Paul. Now think about it. This man was a Pharisee. He was killing Christians. And even in the midst of that waywardness and that confused lifestyle he was living of a religious Pharisee, God's still purpose in his life prevailed. Some of you ask a question this morning. You say, "You know, Pastor, I've been through a divorce. I've had children that have rebelled. Didn't do good in college. I never had Bible training." And God says that He has a purpose for you that will withstand all of those things. You know, I remember when I was coming up and I was trying to find purpose. What do you do to find purpose in your life? Everybody's trying to find purpose. We just don't admit it. We're trying to find out what God wants us to do. Can I tell you, it's not in your work. It's not in your vocation. That's not about your purpose. Your purpose is what your vocation is, what you do to make a living. And it's a platform for you to do what God's called you to do. In other words, your vocation puts food on a table so that you can live, but that's not to be your source of purpose. It can be part of it, but your purpose is to please and serve God. That's why you can work. And you can work, and you can work, you can do everything, and you can still come up empty-handed. You know, I was reading something about Howard Hughes, first American billionaire, and the wealthiest man in the world at one time. By the age of 45, he was worldwide. He owned TWA and dated all the Hollywood actresses that were the who's who. But despite all this, he became a lonely recluse who feared germs and avoided sunlight. He was rarely seen in public The last 20 years of his life, he spent his final days watching the same movie as many as 150 times. Everybody say, that dude had issues. I'm telling you, kids that lock yourself away in these closets with these games for 6 hours at a time, you got issues too. His power, prestige, and prosperity never provided a satisfying purpose in life. I like another saying that they had at the J.H. Ranch. It says, if you only live life once, you only need to live it once. If you live it right, then once is enough. You hear people making the statements all the time, and they say, you know, if I could only live this over again, if I could only be young and do this again. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go home when Jesus says go home. I don't need to go back and live this life again. I've given it my best shot. So I don't need to go back and so I can try to just do it right one more time. I might make a better, bigger mess than what I did the first time. But if you take where you're at and you live this life right, then this make this life count. Then when you get to the end and Jesus calls you home, then you'll say, that was enough. Seems like the Apostle Paul wasn't begging to go through life again. He said, I fought the fight. I've run a good race. I fought the fight. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and all to them that love his appearing. So God has something for us when we finish the race. We don't need to go through this thing again. But even through all that, the Apostle Paul, he says, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him through among the Gentiles. Now, not only did Paul say that God called him from his mother's womb, but that he called him that he might preach him among the Gentiles. And I did not confer immediately with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. That means that the Apostle Paul, when God gave him his purpose, he didn't run and try to get everybody's approval. You know, I had a pastor one time tell me, he says, you know, Sonny, he said, if God told you what to do, be careful who you share it with. He says, because they'll talk you right out of what God told you to do. You know, sometimes it could even be the people closest to you, even sometimes even your those in authority. You know, you need to go to, he said, I didn't go to the apostles and talk to them about it. He said, I went on the backside of Arabia. I sat down with God, and him, God and I developed the plan, and then we came forth with the ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Brother David, God says, that's for you. And I'm in the sense that what he's given you goes beyond what flesh and blood can confer to. There's something that God has given you a plan. You shared some stuff with me that's not even registering at this time, but I'm just telling you that God has given you some things that go beyond where people are at, and he's called you to walk with that. And it's gonna go beyond, not outside of the church, but it's going to go beyond the church walls. You won't do it. Whatever you're going to do is not going to be without the church, but it will definitely be beyond the four walls of the church. And that, and I really feel like the Lord's saying for you and Barbara to trust what the Lord is doing with you right now, just to trust him, even though the purposes, the vision, write the vision, make it clear that those that see it may run with it. And though the vision tarry, amen, the vision's tarrying a little bit right now, but it's coming. I just really see handwriting going across you and Barbara right now. God's writing right now. You're seeing things. You're in a new arena. I just want to encourage you. The vision's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. There is one other thing I want to say. We talked about this. I just got some of these. Without a sense of purpose, this was another point I wanted to bring in this, that some of this stuff is just really powerful. Busyness can lead to barrenness. You know, a lot of people, when they don't know what God wants them to do, they just get busy. And they try to do something to try to keep themselves feeling like they're doing something for God. Well, you know, there is an old saying that a rolling stone gathers no moss. Did I get that one right? Good. Yeah, I want to make sure. But, you know, and so, yeah, you need to stay in motion. But stay in motion on your knees. Stay in motion in God's Word. Stay in motion journaling. You know, when I get confused about what is God calling Praise Church to do, I keep journals. You can ask Sarah and Vicky. I got bookshelves full of journals where I document everything that God tells me, everything He does in my life. And when I wonder, God, what are You doing? I go back and I start reading. I said, oh, that's what You're doing. You're healing people in Praise Church. Hallelujah. That's what You're doing, Lord God. You're getting people saved here. Praise God. Lord, you know what else? We're giving money to world missions. God, you know what else? There's people prophesying in this church. God, you know what else? There's people been plucked out of the fire in this place. And I just keep going through and I read testimonies and I said, oh my God, you know, I see what You're doing here now. And it makes the future in the direction that I'm going, it makes it all so powerful. Because it's so easy to lose your way. Okay, let's finish up in Jeremiah. Just wanted to keep y'all for a few minutes this morning and go through this. Well, Holy Ghost, would you rather me finish here in Psalms 84? We'll do it. Okay, you got the point. Let's go to Psalms 84. How lovely is Your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Psalm 84, 1. Come on, say it with me. Say, how lovely is Your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Everybody say, it's a pretty building. Now look at each other and say, you are the building. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Are you desperate? Are you desperate for God? Are you desperate? Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. You know, you can't get your vision going until you find a place in the house of the Lord. You can't birth what God's wanting to give you out there wandering around in the wilderness, folks. You've got to come in to the house of the Lord. Even the swallow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may... Even Your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in Your house. Would you slap your neighbors on the shoulder and say, blessed are you, neighbors? They will still be praising You. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in You, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. I got to come preach to these folk in the back before I dismiss. The Bible says... For you folks in the back, not for you people in the front, it says, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now, what does pilgrimage mean? It means I'm only passing through. It means that I'm just going through this earth, and that means I'm not making my home here. It means I'm going on. I'm setting my heart up here. This is just a temporary place. And it says, if you do that, it says that blessed is the man, that your strength will be in here because your strength isn't on the trust in here. Verse 6, it says, as they pass through the valley of Baca. Now, what does that word in the Greek mean? Somebody, okay, you in the front can answer too. What does that mean? It says, as they pass through the valley of Baca. Weeping. Thank you, it was in your Bible. I know it's in mine too. For those of you that thought she knew Greek, hallelujah, or Hebrew. What is the, when you pass through the valley of weeping, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If you will get this concept in your heart that, guys, whatever you're going through, you're just passing through this world. God is allowing circumstances in your life to make you stronger. And He's allowing you to become more dependent upon Him. And He's making you to learn how to, to dig deeper wells, because there's a source that's deeper than it's on this surface. and it's digging. You know, if you dig a well, you got to pull water up. But if you dig a spring, Bible says out of your bellies comes rivers of living water, because the spring water feeds you without you having to work. So here it says that when you pass through the valley of Baca, you don't need to work. All you're going to do is you're just going to rest in what God is doing, because He will sustain you. You know, so when we go through things that are just too hard to bear, I want to tell you something about you old people. You know, sometimes you can get discouraged in your life. You know, I mean, it's not uncommon for people that have had kids and grandkids and life just goes on, and they feel like all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'm not in the center of this thing anymore. And life is made that way. It just keeps passing by. You see, you need to learn to go ahead and nourish off of the wells that come up. When you're going through desert places, and you need to learn to park and just feast on these wells. You know, I believe that a lot of the Old Testament and New Testament men and God of old, they were glad when everything stopped around them, and they would go park themselves and just before God, and they would feast on God. See, that's all we're talking about here, is learning to feast on God. It says, if your heart is set on pilgrimage, when you pass through the valley of weeping, you make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Come on, somebody say, I'm going from strength to strength. You're not going from your own strength to strength. You're going from each event and each challenge that God gives you in His strength. You know, I've said this so many times, and Brother Jack, I know you're getting a witness with me over there on this because of what you just went through, but you know, you just learn that what when you go through something hard, you say, God, I'm so glad that it's all about You, because if it was just, you know, guys, I mean, let's face it, you look at all these young bucks, you know, and they got the six pack, you know, And they got all the real, you know, they put their bathing suits on, and man, I was watching little Brian on the river the other day. Where's Brian at? He was here just a little bit ago. Brian was sitting over there, man. He's out on the river, and he picks up that board, and man, he's just got muscles ripping all out of him, and he just jumps in that water, and I go, man, I remember when I used to be able to do that, you know? Yeah, you know? That's right. We can still do it. We just got to jump in the inner tube right now, you know? That's... But we are going from strength to strength. You know, I got a word for these young men. The Bible says, even the young men shall be weary and faint. And that's why they choose young men for the service, because they're such an incredible health. They've got this vigor and vitality. They got the endurance to go and work and do these things. They have a lot of brains up there, but man, they're really strong. That's why they give him a gun and you say, go shoot. Yes, sir. Take the hill. I might get killed. That's okay. You'll be a Rambo. Yes, sir. You know, you give a guy like an older guy's gun, we go, whoa, wait a minute, man. I got kids. I got grandkids, you know. My pension plan ain't all what it should be, you know. We go from strength to strength. You see, our strength is in the Lord. And whenever you see something come at you, or wherever you're in the middle of something, I can't tell you, folks, because we're just beginning to see hardships come upon our country. You don't even know what's coming. I know things are going bad for some of us, but it doesn't matter if it gets better or if it gets worse, if we're moving from strength to strength. See, we learn the process of desert dwelling. We are actually all desert dwellers. I mean, if we get into a dry place and all hell breaks loose, we just go and find us a little spring and get us some refreshing waters. And we say, you know, I don't know about all this, but I love Jesus. Hallelujah. God is my strength. Oh, Lord of hosts, Hear my prayer and give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wicked. You know, folks, I went through something years and years ago, and this word's for somebody. And you know, just everything seemed to go bad at one time. And I remember I began questioning God. I said, you know, God, I gave you my best. And look what I got. I looked in my hands and all I had was a mess. And I remember one day I walked and I looked. And I walked into this up to this little discotheque. And I mean, they had multi-layers. They had all the music going. And they had the people drinking. You can buy tickets and go up on these things and you just drink all night. They had people on the dance floors. And they had girls that were passing out because they were getting past date rape pills. You know, the bars are much more mess than they were when some of you were younger. It's a very hostile place. And, you know, I looked in there and I just said, God, why would, you know, the devil was actually, I was being tested, you know, will you go back? And I took a good hard look in that. I said, God, what would I want to go back to this for? What would I, you know, and the devil will get you in a place, and it doesn't have to be a bar room. It don't have to be drinking. It could be just going back to being with the wrong friends. Right. You know, it doesn't have to be anything drastic, but the devil can get you in a place. If you don't learn, listen to me closely. I believe that's where this message had to go. I know we started with purpose, but we need to finish with strength. If you don't learn how to let your strength be in God, then the devil can come in and play a card against you and get you to move into a place you shouldn't move into. But it says that this is what the chief musician, the sons of Korah, dad wrote it to him. He says, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. You know what that means? That just doesn't mean coming to church. That means coming into God's presence. That means coming into the knowledge and the awareness of God. I was reading some articles on the great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, who was part of the great revivals. And they said he never, ever delineated whether he was talking or whether he was praying. For him, he prayed all the time. He would be talking to you and praying. And he says, oh, yeah, thank you, God, that just today, God, you are on the throne. And he would and just be talking to you the next second. He just constantly, you know, a lot of times we think, let's bow our head and pray. And so we do that at the end of the day or the beginning of the morning. But, you know, you can talk to God all day long. You can stay in communion and you can be in his presence. You don't have to just all of a sudden turn him off and just turn him on. You can stay plugged into God all day long. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. You know, and I, at this particular time, I wasn't actually even a pastor. I wasn't really nothing. I was going to church, but I was just sitting there. I said, God, I'm going to go sit and I'm going to worship you in the pew like anyone else would do. And I'm going to make sure. And I decided at that time that I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Folks, I'd rather scrub toilets in God's house. Amen. Amen. I would rather, look, you're going to find your purpose if you can live here. Do not dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen? Amen. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you. God, what an awesome scripture. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. I'm thinking today that we all need to give our lives to Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here that you don't know Jesus and you need to get upright with God? Before we're dismissed and before we close, anybody here? You know, maybe there's somebody here, you say, Pastor, I believe that I compromised and traded in something. And today, I want to get back in the courts of God. Bow your heads with me. No one looking around. Before we're dismissed today, I want to give you an invitation. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you say, Pastor, today I want to get right with God. Hallelujah. One day in your courts, Lord, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. As you have your heads bowed, why don't we just let the Lord, just let the Holy Spirit search your heart for a minute. We've been preaching on purpose. First place I'd like to just go and just ask God to do some extraction. If there's some areas in your life that you've allowed them to become weeds, you've allowed the growth just to take over. As our brother said, why don't we just pour some Roundup on those areas this morning? And that's the equivalent of repentance, is like Roundup. It just gets rid of everything. Maybe there's some things that have taken root and you need a shovel in there, and you need to dig up some roots. You cut them down and they keep coming back. You cut them down, they keep coming back. Well, God, this morning we just say, Lord, as you revelate and show us the areas, whether it's bitterness, whether it's unforgiveness, whatever it is, God, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's some of you here today, you've actually allowed things to go as far as you've built golden cows or golden calves. You've just let things get in the way of God. You say, today, Pastor, I want to go ahead and just do like Moses did. Just throw it into the fire. That's right. I'm just letting you just kind of go through your heart right now and just do it. Because these are the things that will thwart purpose. And maybe there'd be some of you here this morning, you'd even say, Pastor, I've been running from God's purpose in my life. I've been getting busy. I've been doing anything other than what He wants me to do because I'm afraid. I just don't think I can do it. Hallelujah. Kelly, would you do that song? I know you started something. I'd like to do that song, The Blood. I'd like to close by singing about the blood today. The blood of Jesus. Can I get the band to come on up and we're going to play that song together?
Your blood speaks a better word. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness to me
and stands in my defense.
Jesus, it's your blood. Your cross testifies in grace of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, no earthly confidence. It's only by your blood.